हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मविद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 91. In order to show that the pure jiva has the nature of a doer, it is accepted he is a doer by a shakti along with the senses. Yata cha takshobha yata. Just like a carpenter, the jiva is the doer. Brahma Sutra 2.3.38. Just as a carpenter uses an axe, the jiva is the doer using his shakti. In this way, both Ubhayata are doers. Karta shastrarta vatvat. The jiva is the agent because this gives meaning to the scriptures. Right? So the jiva using whatever facility is there. I mean, technically it's not theirs, but it's their quota. So they're using their quota for the activity that they're conscious of and focused on performing, desires to get a result. Therefore, they're the doer. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
This particular point, but the jiva is shakti, so weird.
Yeah, but I just explained it.
Yes, Maharaj, the jiva, that's what I had explained earlier.
You didn't explain it. You just said his shakti. But it says, like a carpenter uses an axe. Is the axe the carpenter?
No.
Is the axe the carpenter? No. So, like the carpenter, then the jiva is the doer. Like that. Not like Krishna, where he has energies that expand from... What energies expand from the jiva? Tell me one. Yeah, so consciousness is what he has. Right? So then using the thing... Because that's what we're saying, is that he's just using this point in this context. You see the overall context. Right? And so the jiva uses his senses or uses his facilities or uses like that. And this way, he engages, therefore he's the doer. That's what then you say to summarize it up. But here you can say the shakti because it gives the full arrangement. Does that make sense? That's how we have to see the difference. Not that just they use the word, you use the word. Because you're using it as a summarization, so you have to see that the essence of that is gained. They're using a particular approach, and then they give the full explanation. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's right. So, then, if the jiva is the agent, that gives meaning to the scriptures. Right? Otherwise, what's the meaning? If the jiva is not the doer, then who's responsible for the karma? Right? It's just like, why would you be responsible for the karma if Prakriti is the doer?
Are you responsible for the karma too?
But does she get a reaction?
Who knows?
Means that Parvati sitting with her husband, is she getting any reaction?
No.
Yeah. So that's the whole point. Is that the material energy gets no reaction for its involvement because it's not the one who's doing. means you can say in another thing that yes, the material energy is controlling the living entities and all that under the Lord's direction. But then what would, if we, how do we apply the meaning of the Shastras that the living entity, he performs a particular activity, and then performing that activity, then he gets the reactions to that. He does pious work, he gets beneficial results. He does impious, he gets bad situations and results. He does devotional, he goes there. He does fruitive, he gets in that field. He goes to heavenly planets. He performs activities in gyan, he gets liberation. Right? You work with vegetables in the kitchen and you end up with a vegetable. Right? Does that make sense? You know, if you could go into the kitchen and put some potatoes and some carrots and a little eggplant and, you know, like that, throw in a little butter and then stir it around, at the end you have yourself a Lamborghini. Now that would be cool. You know, whatever you want. You want that Louis Vuitton bag, you just meditate on that and then you come out. No, a little darker. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. And so, you know what I'm saying? You know, cook up anything you want, that new dress, that new pair of shoes.
Food.
You know, huh?
And food.
You want food also. you just go out and you just order out. If you can do that, you know, you don't bother. So that's the whole thing, is that he's the doer. That's what the Shastra is talking about. Is the Shastra aimed at the material energy? Is it for the animals?
No,
it's for the humans, and the human is for the jiva. So that gives meaning to the scriptures. We understand that he's ultimately not the agent. That's how he gets himself out of all this, right? So you have to say all this in dealing with him as the agent, because he thinks he is, and it's all him. He is all this and all those things. So then, you deal with that until the point that they can start to discriminate. And when they can discriminate and tell the difference between matter and spirit, then you start showing how actually they're working just with the energies of the Lord. Does that make sense? So, in other words, the understanding here is we're not just trying to point out the weakness of the jiva or the aspect of his doing or this and that. We're trying to bring it out in such a way that we appreciate the devotional activity. That's supposed to be there. So that's why when we're dealing in that particular aspect. Otherwise, you have six different commentaries on Vedanta Sutra. Right? So for us at Chintaveda Veda Tattva, that's our approach. That's how we hold the whole Sambandha together. Is that... The
When we say the agent, means like the representative?
Agent, it means, you could say the representative, but it's that, it's the one that's doing the activity, just like, let's say you're stirring the vegetable, the spoon is the agent.
Yes.
Right? But in actuality, someone else is... Your hand is that, and the hand's connected to the arm, the arm to the elbow, the elbow, like that, you know, like the song goes. And then that brings us to, then why is it there? Because that's pushing on the foot. That's pushing on the, what do you call it? That's pushing on the earth. Earth is being pushed by fire. Fire is being pushed by air. Yes. Air is being pushed by the consciousness. Yes. You know, and so therefore the jiva is then the one that is doing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But the point is that, because they want that, that's what they're going to get. The whole idea is that action produces results. So by intent, what intent you want, that's the one that is gained.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
And when the jiva is pure, means he's doing devotional service, means he's the representative of Krishna.
Yes. But see, is that we're looking at it from that aspect. But now if you look at it from the personal means the desire. Right? Because for Krishna, it's not the sensual interaction that is of any interest to him. It's the personal intent of trying to please Krishna.
Yes.
So now, that's the basis of rasa.
Mm-hmm.
Then, depending upon the particular taste and how, what medium you want to use, what secondary aspect mm-hmm. you want to use to express that, mm-hmm. right? Since expression is, you express the primary through the secondary.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now that secondary is what gives rise to all the variety.
Yes.
Right? Because there's only one thing, that's Krishna. He's non-dual. But depending upon the particular approach of the devotee, how they want to express that relationship or connection with Krishna,
mm-hmm.
then you have that variety of rasas.
Yes.
Right? And then those rasas have all the sub-aspects of the anubhavas, the sanchari bhavas, and all these other aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, in this way, you end up with so much variety.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So, the secondary, it only has meaning when it's connected to the primary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the secondary that manifests the primary.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we see is that when you're dealing on the spiritual platform, then that emphasis is given to the devotees. Because Krishna is all perfect, but that perfection is appreciated when the devotee, through their particular attraction to Krishna, that rasa, brings out that particular interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like Krishna as the perfect son,
mm-hmm.
then Mother Jashoda acting as the perfect mother, then that draws that out.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So the perfect friend, then how the cowherd boys deal, that draws that out. That's why they're the ashray.
Mm-hmm.
So we see is that emphasis is put on that, because Krishna already is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, he's not the focus.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's then the application of that in the relationship with the devotee. So the devotee becomes, so because the devotee is worshipping in that particular affection, that particular aspect of rasa, of Krishna,
mm-hmm.
is brought out. So therefore we call it, you know, parental rasa or conjugal rasa. It's because of the devotee. Krishna is rasa. It's undifferentiated. Right? He is everything. But when the devotee interacts with him with a particular intent, through that medium, that's then how we define it. It's rasa, but because it's coming through the secondary aspect or the medium of parental, we call it parental rasa. When it comes to cut, we call it that. Friendship, we call friendship. Does that make sense? So, the importance of the secondary is there because it brings out the rasa of interaction with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
But when we take it that the secondary is important and we're not looking at the primary, that's when it becomes a waste of time. That's when it becomes material.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we gave the example the other day that, let's say in the economic world, they'll look at it that, well, without money, you can't manifest your, you know, any other, you know, project or endeavor. So therefore, money's the main thing. But no, it's the medium through which it manifests. But if you just have money, what's the point? Midas just had money. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that it's, the consciousness switches because the secondary is through which you can appreciate. We take it that the secondary is the all in all. Now, if the secondary is connected to the primary, then in the rasa, it is taken like that. Right? It is about Mother Jashoda. It is about Radharani. It is about the, you know, Sridham. But if it's not about Krishna, just on its own, the secondary aspects, they don't have any purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like the pots and pans, you can put them on the fire, move them around, flip them, you know, put a lid on, take a lid off, but what's happening? Nothing. But when you put, you know, ingredients in the pots, now something's happening. Cooking's going on. So you can appreciate the cooking because of that. But it's about that aspect of interaction that's the most important. Right? Does that make sense? So, This is the point we're trying to get to, is that therefore in rasa he's considered the doer. Right? But the problem is when that doing is not connected to Krishna, it's mundane. But when it is, you get the transcendental. So if we drop off the transcendental, proving that he's the doer in karma and jnana, what benefit do you get? You know what I'm saying? You can only get karma and jnana. So therefore, it's about the bhakti. That's where the real benefit is. So all these have meaning and connection there. Because on the material platform, because you're dealing with secondary, there's so many aspects to secondary of consideration and all this. You know, it's just like, okay, you have money, you don't have anything in your kitchen. Right? Just moved into a place and that there's absolutely nothing there. No ingredients, no pots, no spoons, nothing. So you have a certain amount of money, you go out to the market, you buy stuff. Okay? Now, of course, now we look at it, okay, best quality pots, best quality ingredients, best quality this and that, okay. But if you have only a particular budget, then you can either invest it in the pots or invest it in the ingredients.
Yes.
So if you invest it all in the pots, then you're going to end up with these fancy pots that you're boiling some, cheap tea in. You know, and that's all you have, you know. Says, you know, what do we have for dinner? Tea. Like that. Really? Says, yeah, I spent all the money on the pots. You know, if we spend it just on the ingredients, you can't necessarily appreciate it because the pots don't have a qualification to be able to cook with those, to get the subtlety. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole... Like, if you want to make a really thin, like, let's say those... Normandy crepes, those super thin ones. You can't do that in, let's say, a dented aluminum pot. Right? You have to have the right, pot for that. Then you can get those. You know, and pots that can do that, they're very valued. No one touches them. You don't do anything else with them. You know what I'm saying? So so you find the balance. This much money, I can buy this and greed that, and then you. So that's the thing. In the secondary, you have considerations. On the primary, it's just Krishna. Right? And depending upon, okay, you can say, okay, which aspect of Krishna is important where you want to interact, then yes, you're going to then have that approach, that environment, not. But you see, it's still manifest in the secondary. So the secondary's glory is its usefulness in manifesting the primary. So that always has to come out. Otherwise, as we see in the 11th canto, because before that point, we didn't necessarily consider. Is that all these points of, okay, we're not the body, how the senses are working, you know, the detachment, the good qualities, all these different things that are being described, you know, regularly throughout. And, commented as jnana yoga and stuff like that. Then we're seeing it as just devotional service. And because if it's in pursuance of, then it is counted as devotional service. But then in the 11th canto, Krishna's making the point that the devotion is actually just that part where you're trying to please Krishna. Because you see, as he makes that statement with Uddhava, because Uddhava asked about, what's the good and bad and this and that and all these things. And Krishna points it all out. And he says, but actually we don't get so much into that. Because good and bad is within secondary. So you look at it only as much as is necessary to, in your situation, apply. So yes, you know the knowledge, but your focus is on, in this situation, what's the appropriate thing to please Krishna. But if we're just focusing on, well, this is good, that's bad, this, where's the connection to Krishna? Then it's just jnana. Even though it's useful jnana, it's just jnana. Does that make sense? So Krishna makes that distinction. Otherwise, before that, we'd always just take it as bhakti, because it's in pursuance of bhakti, then it's counted as bhakti. That's the kindness that we see that Krishna and the acharyas have given. Right? I think the Jiva Goswami points out in that Anyabi La Sita, Anyabi La Sita, Ita.
Yes.
That Iti there means and like that.
Yes.
And so all the stuff that we deal with, most of it is all like that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But ultimately we want prema.
Yes.
So it's counted in that way. Does that make sense? That's the kindness. But to make sure that we know exactly what we're doing, then we see in the the end, the conclusion of the advanced study, then it's brought out that it's the devotion part. These are just tools, because the devotee's also using activities, which is karma. So the karma yoga. So the yoga aspect means Krishna has to be involved. So he's just pointing out that don't get too absorbed in what's right and wrong. It's what you're dealing with right now, that's where you look at the right and wrong. And right means it pleases Krishna, wrong means it doesn't. But if we're just analyzing things right and wrong on their own, what are we analyzing? We're not analyzing directly that this is pleasing Krishna. We're analyzing that Shastra says do this, don't do that. But why is Shastra saying that? To please Krishna. Right? So even that over-absorption in the analytical has its limits. When it's applied, that's where you get the benefit. I mean, we're learning it to use in Krishna service, but when you go, this will please Krishna, and that, that won't, so we'll do this. That's when it's being properly applied. But otherwise, just to analyze it on its own, just for analyzation, to know, to have knowledge, then it's just beyond. So it's very subtle.
Yes.
You understand? So the point here is we're trying to see in that aspect and see it up to Krishna. So as far as his karma and his being entangled, he's the agent because he's doing. Right? Then you have the point where he's not the agent. Right? It's the material energy's doing, the modes of nature are doing, and all this and that, and simply the living entity has desire, but he's being controlled by this, and so he has to give up the desire to be involved in this, because why do you have desire? If you're the doer, having desire means you can get it done. But when you start to see as you're not the one doing it, it's the modes of nature, it's the variety of false ego, it's the senses, all these things, the life force, that's all being controlled by the devas and others. They're being controlled by the Supreme. So I'm not the doer. So now what does this do? It pulls you back, gives you knowledge and detachment. Right? And the advantage of that is now we don't have attachment. Mm-hmm. On the material platform, I'm the doer, I'm doing this, I'm getting this, I'm getting that. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But what are we trying to get to? We're trying to get to that the jiva is using his independence and his desire to use that secondary aspect to please Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? So in the material world, we're using the secondary to please ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In the spiritual world, they're using it to please Krishna. But how do you get from one to the other? That's the aspect where you break that you're actually think you're doing, but you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just to bring it to the neutral. Then you pull back from the one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just pull back and don't attach to Krishna, then there's no real advantage for the jiva. Because mm-hmm. they have to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then they'll go back into the material. So that's why it always has to be connected, brought. We see Prabhupada, whenever he's discussing it, he'll always bring it to Krishna constantly.
Yes.
Like Vedanta Sutra, we're discussing here, it won't be brought really until later. Because
yes.
those who have that kind of intellectual power, then they can study through the whole thing, see the thing, it brings them from the karma, brings them up to the jnana, then brings them into bhakti.
Yes.
Right? But it'll take, all these, 500 sutras. Right? But here Prabhupada at each point brings it. Otherwise, there's so many ways you can get distracted because the secondary has unlimited variety. So you can so easily end up on the wrong path. The point is you're on the main path, which is Krishna, the primary. Then with that, depending upon your situation, you use that secondary. You don't use someone else's. Right? Since it's all Krishna, and so therefore anything can be used for Krishna, but that's Krishna, not us. He's everything, not us. We're not everything. So we have a particular situation due to our conditioning and the situations we're in, you know, that we apply that to serving Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So then we do that, because if we can't do that here, why would we want to do that there? Right? It's just like this. Let us say, okay, Mother Jashoda's there, the other elder gopis are there, you know, it's after breakfast, Krishna's had his nap, now they're all assembling, you know, at the, you know, the gateway, you know, to Vrindavan, that they're, you know, getting the cows, the cowherd boys are there, they're all ready to go out into the fields. So everybody's out there. Mother Jashoda's there, the gopis are there, everybody's there, right, to see Krishna. And so then it's been so nice there at Jashoda, at Nanda Bhavan there, you know, they're helping with the cooking, the serving, all the different things, being with Krishna, all these different aspects, the joking of Madhu Mangal, this, that, while they're eating, all these things are all going on really nice. And that was really wonderful. So then you get up to that point. Now, does Mother Jashoda want Krishna to go?
No.
No. You know, do any of the, you know, but do the cowherd boys want him to go?
Yes.
Yes. Right? The cows? Yes. Right? The gopis? Yes. Right? So then, now, if we look at it, well, you know, we're not limited by all these things. It's spiritual. Then when Krishna goes out, then what if one of these elder gopis thinks, well, I've enjoyed so much being with Krishna here because it's being with Krishna. So then why can't I go out also into the fields with Krishna when they go out and watch him play with the cowherd boys and, you know, make sure the cowherd boys don't be too rough with each other and that they eat their lunch properly and, you know, don't play too rough and don't lose their stuff. You know, wouldn't that be good if I explained it? It sounds fabulous, doesn't it? That's the problem. That's where this whole subject ends. Because it's not fabulous. If it was, Krishna would be out there with everybody. Because the cowherd boys' point is that she wants her rasa to go on at all times. But what about the other? With cowherd boys, they can express their rasa, but not fully when they're in Nanda Bhavan. It means the natural thing, but the secondary aspects of the cowherd boys, they can't use all of them. The friendship can be tasted, of course. But the full range of variety can't be in Nanda Bhavan because you can't go crazy and throw stuff around and jump on the furniture and climb up the walls and swing in the chandeliers, which you can do when you're in the forest. So by the gopi, that elder gopi going out, that restricts their rasa. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that everybody wants to do everything, but then it restricts someone else who has that. Then that's the way it goes. How Krishna, what Krishna wants. I think it's, who's saying that? Sukhdamada? About Lord Chaitanya. What Krishna, what Lord Chaitanya wants to do and who he's going to do it through, only he knows. Like that. So then, this idea is that, you know, oh no, but I can do anything, and then you throw in things that are spiritual and this and that, and try to say it, or, you know, equal opportunity. These things, but it's not giving the position to others who can manifest those in a full way. Yes, you can do. Anybody could do. Right? Mother Jashoda, can she dance or not? Yeah, now if she goes out to the rasa dance, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, she'll be there with Nanda Baba and all the elder gods, they'll all be dancing there. You know, is that going to enhance the flavor of Krishna dancing with the gopis? What about the cowherd boys come out and dance?
Cows.
Huh? The cows come out and dance, yeah. You know, cows dance pretty good. You know what I'm saying? So it's not going to work. So that's why there's limitations. That's and that gives the variety. Otherwise, if it's just all a homogenous oneness, Krishna is already doing that as Atmarama. You know, he's tasting the fullness of him being everything at once. But it's when you bring out one thing and another thing, one thing without the others, you know, just that aspect. That's then gives them more intense flavor. Otherwise, just the generic is how... Is that make sense? You know, it's just, that's the way it is. Yes.
It seems nowadays, before people went on the spiritual search, but now everybody's going for spiritual shopping. That's the difference. Well, I can pick this and I can take here. You know.
Oh, you're not talking about Lloyd Bazaar.
Yeah, well, also Lloyd Bazaar.
But I'm just saying, you're giving a it's used being used as an analogy.
Yeah, it's an analogy.
Okay.
So it's like. It's an open market, so
you pick what you want.
Yeah, pick and choose, but I don't have to be fixed.
Yeah, and that the problem is that's all you'll get. So you get what you want. See, the point of, just like we're saying, remembering Krishna at the time of death means it's just Krishna, not somebody, something else. Then, so that transfers us, that focus. Even though it's not necessarily in prema or bhava, anything, it just means we remember Krishna. That's all. Right? We see him as a shelter, we just surrender to Krishna. That gets us into the spiritual world. So then one can be functioning in that association that is there giving the chance for one to cultivate the bhava, that bhava sadhana, and move to prema. Now, what makes the difference that you move from not getting the association of the Nitya Siddhas and getting them? It's that focus on Krishna.
Yes.
Right? It's because otherwise, if you're absorbed in what you're doing in your house and this and that, because there's plenty to do, they have houses, they have things, you know. All that stuff's going on. People are there. People have to be fed. Cooking is going on. Pots are being washed. That whole thing. So if you're focused on that and Krishna, then you'll stay in that position. When Krishna is the prominence, then you'll get the association of Krishna's eternal associates. Right? Then what brings it from having their association to being introduced to getting actually Krishna's direct association. Right? It's that exclusive focus. So samadhi. Not even just dhyan. It has to be samadhi. It's exclusive. Right? Then, one's absorbed in those pastimes. You're with Krishna in the pastimes. But then what makes the difference between that going from there to prema? It's that further exclusive. That it's just that, nothing else. Because we see the gopis, they go, the rasa dance, they're all there. So they've gotten to that third stage. They're on the apandas stage. But the problem is that they're thinking of their position and the glory of that, or the jealousy of Radharani, or all these different things. And so Krishna leaves. So only when it becomes focused on him alone, with nothing else,
yes.
You know, in the way of application. Because the one is just meditation, but this is an application also.
Yes.
Then Krishna comes back, then the rasa dance like this, and then like this, it develops into prema. So that exclusive focus on Krishna, that's the whole point. So the more we're, you know, how you say, I guess you'd say omnivorous or whatever it is, you know, that, you know, it's just whatever is there, anything's cool and all that. But, you know, wasn't that where people started back in the 60s? Hippies, as long as it's something that's a little bit of beyond just the ordinary, you know, consumerist, you know, society, you know, some incense, you know, some sitar music, you know, being in a field, you know, like that, some flowing clothes instead of just, you know, suits. You know what I'm saying? So they just pick this and that. You go into these kind of people's houses. It's very eclectic. So that's all right if your culture is, but your philosophy can't be. If your philosophy is eclectic, technically that's called Hindu. So for all the points that are made about, you know, oh, hey, you know, we're preaching, you know, to this one and that one, you know, all these Hindus are coming and that. What about to the locals? You know, like that. But the point is then when we get this, it's the same as the Hindus. Right? Because technically speaking, when it talks about, you ever notice that there's the point where it's talking about having material desires and connecting them and things like that. But at the same time, it's talking about, you know, those that you once performing these activities because of the material benefits you'll get. One is classified as devotee, the other is classified as a materialist. But they're the same definition. Right? So, in other words, if we're looking at it that there's an interest in Krishna, there's a favorableness towards Krishna, there's a willingness to take part in these direct activities, like let's say you have a festival or a kirtan or some prasad, then generally speaking, any Hindu is willing to take part. Mm. Why? Because they're devotees, by that definition. Mm. But at the same time is, you see, the rest of the time, they're just absorbed in their material activities. Mm. They'll remember Krishna now and again. You know, and like that. So they have faith in Krishna. But the point is, and they accept, but their morality, their material benefits are actually more important. So in that category, they're counted as materialists. You know, so the Prakriti comes out. We'll say neophyte devotee. But then when we say Prakriti, what does that mean? It's the same position, but it's because of the focus on the external material things. So depending upon what you want to bring out, you know, it's just like, okay, I don't know if the word would mean anything, but let's say we say, okay, what's the difference between, there's a four-legged animal, you know, and it slobbers, barks, and loves to chase sticks. Okay? Now I say, my pet. Okay? Or, we're talking about, you know, this mutt. This is M-U-T-T, not T-H. Mutt mongrel. Heinz 57. No.
too elevated.
Yes.
This is on the level of Sanskrit.
Okay. Do you have must in your language means you have like let's say a purebred dog.
Yeah.
You know, like that a pedigree dog. Then you have the one that it's anything goes. It's on the street. It's a mix of everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you have a name for that?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what mutt means.
Okay.
You know? Or mongrel. Just means a mix of everything. You know, you just...
What's cool?
Huh?
Cool. C-U-R? Mutt.
C-U-R.
That's what they translate.
Cur. Yeah. Oh, cur. Cur. Yeah, that's also. It just means it's just nothing special.
Varna Shankar.
Yeah, Varna Shankar, exactly. Okay, there it is. Varna Shankar. Now we have something everybody can relate to. Okay. So, it's the difference. It's just like Ramaharshana Sutta. Right? He's sitting on the Vyasasan. Everybody's listening to him. Everybody's very happy. But, because he's acting as a Brahmin. Right? Because in the sutta nature, you can have Brahminical. You can also have Kshatriya. You can also have chariot driver. You can also have small-time trapper. You know, goes out and sets traps and catches small animals. Not big ones. Right? Does that make sense? These are all within that nature.
Yes.
Right? So, he's acting as a Brahman, they're accepting him as a Brahman. But then when he acts as a Sutta, you know, a mixed, or as, like the Shudra, he doesn't understand, or because of the pride, because of the Kshatriya mix, then they say he's a Sutta. What to do? He's Varna Shankara.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the same position. Just like you see when they're talking about the court. You know, when Krishna comes in or the king comes in, you'll always see the suttas mentioned. Because they're the ones that can glorify and that tell the stories, do all the different things. Right? So they're all part of the scene. So when they do their scene nicely, then that's glorified. But if they act outside of that, that's when it's that, oh, they're Shankara.
Right.
Yes.
But with this comes the problem that you cannot really trust people as such, because as soon as their Shankara part comes out, you have no idea what the outcome is going to be.
Yes, so that's why you just know that that's there, because they're devotees. You know that devotional side, that will be there, but because of the mix of the backgrounds, that it'll be a bit of a potpourri on what results we'll get. Does that make sense? So that's why you don't worry about it. That's why we'll use this mix. You know, depending upon what's the situation, we'll use both of these. So now you're saying we can trust them and all this, but then we're working also on the platform of that trust in the material and qualities and activities and results, right? But since that's not ultimately our position, it's the spiritual, then the point comes up is that that's where the jnana yoga comes in, because it detaches us from the mundane activity, but for the purpose of connecting to the spiritual. Because otherwise, if someone goes, oh, but everything's this, you can't trust this and that, then they'll go into that inert kind of state, you know, that in between. So they won't interact personally, you know, on the activity platform, but they won't act personally on the devotional either. You know, it's like Diogenes or something. You know. They just get into that neutral state. So that's why it always has to be seen in connection with. So we may emphasize the jnana just to break the karma, but it has to immediately then bring in the devotion. So the best is it's always mentioned all along. Otherwise, if not, you won't have that reference to be able to catch that. Because when even we're dealing with a jnana, we're not that much of a jnanis. Right? So it's not that we have that pure just being able to see like Sukadeva Goswami. You know, pure jnani. So then when it's pointed out the difference, then he can exactly see it and just take it up immediately. You know, so that's why it's the Buddhi Yoga is the platform. That's the best platform. Because it works for those who are, you know, have that qualification, but it also works for those who don't. So you have a common ground for everybody to work with. So we know karma yoga, we know jnana yoga. Then we use them all, you know, in pursuance of bhakti yoga. So all four together, that's what we call Buddhi Yoga. Yes. Go ahead. No, but did that work on the... So we have to be focused.
Yeah.
Means that one is not focused, that's how you're going to start. That's fine. And then if they use this spiritual shopping, you know, to find things that they like, because otherwise up to this time they only like Rodeo Drive, right? So they're not going to go... They're not into that kind of spiritual shopping. That didn't mean anything.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So, therefore, then that's progression, because now they're looking at, and they're going to Loy Bazaar and, you know, looking at, well, you know, let's get some nice neck beads or a nice bead bag or let's get some deities. So they're shopping, but it's all in connection with Krishna. So then, you know, they like this person's kirtan, so they get those and listen to that, or they like this preparation and they think they cook that, and, you know, they like this outfit that was there, you know, at this temple, and then they do that. So that's very nice. It's progressive.
Yeah.
But as we said, is that as the inchworm moves forward, you have to give up the back foot to be situated on the front, you know, on the higher level where the front foot is. So at some point it has to be, we have that commitment, that conviction. You know, it's like that one devotee went into Prabhupada's room here in Mayapur. No one else was in the room, and he walked in, and as soon as he walked in, Prabhupada just looked at him, and, you know, one of those, you know, very penetrating looks, and said, "Are you convinced?" You know, it's like, you know, he wasn't expecting that. Kind of, yeah, you know, like that. So, okay, that's because the Prabhupada's point is, if you don't have that conviction, then how you'll move forward. So as we see, is that the actual progress is by that conviction. You have a general, you have a whole, you know, wide eclectic philosophy, and you know, you're a nice guy, you know, you know the devotees do things, they're cool, you know, like this and that, but when it comes to, no, you have faith in Krishna, you see it comes down to one thing, then it takes up shraddha, then you associate with everyone in that because you're a nice guy, but you like preferring associating with the devotees, sadhu sangha. Then you're with the devotees doing whatever you're doing and all that, but now you're willing to do what they do. That's the bhajana kriya. Then within bhajana kriya, you're performing the activities, but you know, the attachments, this and that. You're willing to give that up and just do the positive things. Does that make sense? And then you're doing the positive things, but it's giving up the idea for, you know, karma and jnana brings you to nishta. Then you're fixed in the activities in that, but it's about doing those activities to please Krishna. Not just pious activity. That brings you to ruchi. And it's not just that taste, it's about Krishna, so a sakti. But then it's not about your attachment, your feelings, and what you're gaining from it. It's what's Krishna's feelings and how he's doing it. That brings you to bhava. And then we explained before how that moves through to prema. So you see, as it becomes more and more focused on Krishna, that more and more convinced, that's what makes it work. So if we're not convinced, then it's nice. It's good. It's a good position. But the problem is if you're not moving forward, then you're going sideways. You know what I'm saying? Going sideways, you can say, is not bad. There's no loss. But at the same time, is you're not making profit. Does that make sense? So one is always looking at that. And if one's looking at that, Krishna will arrange. That's the whole point, because Krishna is arranging all these things. And if we have that desire, it will move that way. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we're willing to move forward, then Krishna will. So it's not that you won't go shopping, you know, like that. But it's just that it's... it's about pleasing Krishna and seeing things in connection to him.
Yeah. To the point of intent and action, because for siddhas, it's one. Mm-hmm. But for sadhakas, we've seen devotees, they have really good intent, but then in action, it like never happens. And they speak about this intent openly.
Mm-hmm.
But then how do we deal? Because it's confusing.
No, it's practice. That's why it's sadhana. It takes practice.
How long?
Long enough.
I've seen those people like 20 years more.
Okay. The child is born. Let's take, you know, in the case, a daughter. Then, from that birth until, you know, they're up to the point where they're ready, and you could say basically trained and mature enough to get married, it'll take some years.
Yeah.
And so if in 20 years, you know, you can get your daughter married.
That's good.
Hmm?
That's good.
Yeah. But we're talking about something a little bit beyond that. So it might take a few more years. But we see from the example of Maharaj Muchukunda, not Muchukunda, was it Muchukunda?
Katvanga.
Muchukunda.
The sleeping one.
Yeah, his took a little longer. Katvanga. It was just a moment. So you have that. That's the whole point. The spontaneous aspect can happen at any moment. You don't know how that'll happen because we're not in control of that. But we don't. Therefore, we don't work on that and expect that. We work on sadhana. And so we just do our sadhana, because if we're looking at it when it's going to happen, then we're looking at a result. If we're looking at just pleasing Krishna, then how do you know Krishna's not pleased now with your endeavor? Right? Because we're saying, no, but unless I get this, but then that's the whole point. We're not doing it for a specific purpose. See, prema, the aspect of prema is it pleases Krishna. But as long as we're looking at it that it pleases us, then it will be, it'll take a touch longer. Right? Prema is the goal. Just like we see is those on the platform of prema, they're in the Krishna's association on the same planet. They have a compatible, you know, form like that, and they have compatible opulences. Right? So they have, and they're situated on this spirit transcendental platform. So they have all the symptoms of liberation, but they're not interested in them. It's just in pleasing Krishna. So that's what we're doing here, is that we're trying to see that these higher level is there and to appreciate that. And then by appreciating that, then that pushes forward the whole, path of bhakti, in practical for us. We know prema's there, but where we are and what we see, then we see that there's something more. And then seeing that more, that's cultivated, that being then when situated there, then reading the same thing, then you'll get more again.
Yes.
You know? That's the thing you see, like with Prabhupada's books. We read Bhagavad Gita, we went through that, okay, yeah, we read that, like that we're doing. But if you go back and read now, you'll see stuff that you didn't see before. And every time you go through, you know what I'm saying? It's just like the level that we're discussing the philosophy now in the Bhagavatam, when you read Gita, you'll see that. The students in the class don't, so that's where then you have to apply it for them. But the point is, the fineness that we're dealing with here, that's the refinement that we're working with in bhakti. Krishna being the most refined. Therefore, the subtleties of these are so... That's what makes the pastimes unlimited. You know, it's just like saying before, is that... Generally, you could say in traditional Indian cooking, when you're depending on, especially when it's... You would probably see it more now in the village like that, but before you'd see it everywhere. Is that whatever's in season is what people cook. Right? So then, something's in season for, let's say, like cauliflower, it's in season for about 2 months in its natural form. Like that. So during 2 months, you cook it every day. Right? And for 2 months. Then after 2 months, it goes out, and then something else is there. Then portal comes. Right? Then that's there for 4 months. But you are. This separates the Bengalis from the non-Bengalis. It's just like if during Kartik, when you're being careful of what you're eating and that, and giving up your favorite fruit or root or vegetable like this and that, then if you're Bengali, that means portal. But if you're not Bengali, portal doesn't. It's not even on the list of possibilities. It's just automatic. The first one to go. Probably Lao would be the first one, or Kerala, or like that. or I would even say Chal Kumra would be before Lao. You know Chal Kumra? It's a pumpkin, but it's white. It kind of has that powdery white outside. It you cook it like a lao, the same technique, but you have it's much more limited in what you can do with it. Like that.
It's the same, like fasting from Urad Dal doesn't make any sense to anybody outside the South India.
Yeah, to them it's a freak out. And then they have the yogurt. They get hit twice. Right?
Maybe it's personal.
Huh?
Maybe something personal.
Yeah, and then you have the milk and the coffee during that month. Wow.
So milk and the coffee, it's in a different category. It's not milk. So they have philosophy about that.
I told you that philosophy, that South Indian orator. Yeah. It wouldn't be, because they're adding the milk, so the milk doesn't actually become changed.
Milk powder?
Well, they say it's not main, it's a carrier. It's like medicine, you know, it's good.
Why not?
Money.
Yeah, and spinach affects the Bengalis, so.
Yes.
I don't remember where we were.
Cauliflower. For 2 months.
Oh, yeah, so the variety. But then. So. Therefore, then, let's say for that 2 months, they're cooking cauliflower every day. Right? But at the same time, as there'll be some variety within that. Okay? And you're cool with that. But now let's shift to the example of 2 months of portal every day. But you're making the variety. But you'll be thinking, why portal every day? But you could look at it from the other, why cauliflower every day? You know what I'm saying? So, depending upon the view, you have more of a grosser or a subtler. So you know what I'm saying? Like for some people, like let's say if you're in the village, you're you know in Bengal, they can cook Bengali cooking every day and create variety within that. And people will say there's so much variety. But now let's say if you're not from there or you're not even from India, then Bengal is one thing you do one day every couple of, you know, whatever it is, depending upon your tolerance. You know, so one day is, you know, Bengali, okay, one day pizza, one day, you know, how you say, lasagna, one day pasta. Notice the pattern here? Yeah, so it's so much variety, right? You know, yeah. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that you have to make a more gross thing for it to change. But when you get into the subtler, it's so subtle, the fine points. Krishna has unlimited shaktis. That means each shakti has its point where it shines in a particular situation. And that's their moment. And the point is that since you're dealing with eternity, that moment's eternal. At the same time, is because there's a point of Krishna as the center, you can cooperate with unlimited other living entities, that everybody has their position. So Radharani is a constant. Then you see the Astasakhi, that will be very much backing it up, especially with Lalita and Vishakha being more prominent even of them. Right? Then behind that will be the maidservants.
Yeah.
You know, and like that it'll come down to. Does that make sense? So everybody has something that as a Shakti, it makes them unique, that they bring some special thing to the pastime. And where it belongs, at that point, that's what's done. You know, it's like you see is that when they're doing the holy pastimes, they have Matanga doing the kirtan, leading the kirtan. So she's a girl from the heavenly planets. But for that pastime, she's the one to sing. But you never hear of her singing on anything else they're doing.
Matanga?
Huh? Matanga is on it? Does that make sense? So there's that aspect that it works for that, but in others not. So then she's the prominent one. But in something else, then you see others are prominent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So everything has its place. And so the appreciation of that subtleness means then you can appreciate the wider range of rasa. So because Braja Bhakti is more subtle, they can appreciate the bhakti that's being rendered by all other devotees. Right? In all the other realms. While you see sometimes in working in other realms, they can't see beyond their own. They can't appreciate outside of that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that the subtlety and all that, then it's there. Otherwise, why are we talking these stuff when we're dealing with, you know, Vedanta Sutra? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's about the fine points between what's actual devotion and what's not. What's devotion or what's materialism? Mm-hmm. So certain aspects we're engaging, but by intent. Right? In other words, someone's performing the sadhana, and they do it very well. So for us, that would be an advanced position. But because intent is the main thing. So if you grow up in a family where they follow the sadhana, it's just the normal thing. But your intent is actually, you know, more materialistic. Do we count? So by association, which is the prominent element? The materialism or that aspect of sadhana? Does that make sense? Since the intent is about the material benefit. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you invite, you know, one of the Hare Krishna Swamis over to you're doing a program at your house. Okay? Now, you'll give a donation and all that, but it's not that there's an arrangement, there's a monetary arrangement. Right? Yes, no?
I didn't follow that.
Meaning that it's about the association, it's about the preaching and all that, like that. Okay. But let's say we're going to bring one of these local, you know, swamis or orators or like that, these kind of places. It's very much about the money. So that's where you see that's where the difficulty is. So even though the sadhana is there and everything and everything, they can speak really well and all that, you're associating with the materialistic side of it. Because the secondary is common for everything. The sadhana, proper sadhana for a karmi, for a jnani, or for a devotee is exactly the same. And in the Vedic sense, the dress is the same also. Right? If you're a Brahmin, you wear a dhoti and a chadar. You have a thread. You wear tilak. You have a shaved head. It's just the way it works. It doesn't matter what your goal is, but it's the intent that defines it. So that's another thing, because it's very easy to go, those that don't follow anything from the Vedas, then they're, you know, of course, they're materialistic. Okay. But within those who follow the Vedas, you also have to make distinction. Who's karmis, who's jnanis, and who's devotees. So those who have that faith in the Lord, that's devotees. But even within that, then you have to see what platform they're on. You know what I'm saying? Why invite someone over who's basically the consciousness is materialistic like the other neophyte devotees? Even though they're more practiced at certain aspects of sadhana and culture and everything like that. What's the difference in association? You know what I'm saying? Because one thing is that we're not advanced. So we're not going to talk about our attachments with impunity. But such orators might. Because we're dealing with them as if they're advanced. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that becomes a problem. So one has to see in the context what's advanced and what's materialistic.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know, so therefore, the shopping is good in the beginning, but it can't be seen as an advanced platform. Just because you become a more sophisticated shopper doesn't mean you're any less materialistic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the person going down to the thrift store, they're materialistic. But it's not that the guy going into the, you know, that, what is it called, three-story Louis Vuitton you know, how you say, their boutique down in, I say, Champs-Élysées, that they're any less materialistic. So that's the whole thing. But as a shopper, we'll consider they're very advanced. But as far as spiritual advancement, they may be in a worse position because they have pride. So that's the danger. You can say, no, but okay, we're not advanced, they're not advanced, but they're proud of their position. Right? You know, that's why we remember the Papa Sampradayas, the caste Goswamis are one of the groups. Now they're following everything we do, same philosophy, everything. Right? But because of that materialistic element, because of their body, because they're born in Brahmin families, that's why they're advanced and they're superior. That's wrong. So that aspect, if they give that up, then you see the very nice devotees. We do have some, it's not so often, but we do have some Goswamis who are you know, you could say, you know, proper practitioners. You know, for us. You know, as I said yesterday, is they're in their own category, so we don't get into their thing. But when we bring them into our world to do our work, then you have to consider that comparison. But in their own world, you know, it's just like if someone's in their natural, like the kids, they're out in the backyard in their own environment, it's fine. But when they come into the house, then you have to consider your environment. You know, outside in the backyard, crickets, great. But in the living room, crickets not actually the... Yeah, what do you call it? Crickets, not cricket. So, does that make sense? Does that work?
Yeah. When we deal with the secondary aspect, sometimes we don't know how it is connected to Krishna.
Right.
And there is a tendency to switch another secondary. Having not been experienced at Rasa, and in the name of Krishna, there is a tendency to switch the other secondary. Is it good or...
It depends upon what you're supposed to be doing. If you're supposed to be applying the one aspect, you stick to that aspect. If you're experienced in a different aspect of secondary, you have to see if that can work and get... The point is that you're using a particular activity because it will get a particular result. Right? So if the other thing can get that, then that's okay. But if not, then you have to consider... That, you know, there just needs to be some training. You just have to see that secondary is within the context of what you can work with. So if it is, then it's just a matter of learning that.
Okay. When you say about being result-oriented...
Being?
Result-oriented.
Result-oriented.
And that's very, very natural that everybody is result-oriented. Mm-hmm. Whether materialist or even devotee. And
yes,
in
but
fact,
in here is that.
No, what I need to say is that.
But when you say devotees, how broad is your category of devotees? Mm. That's the whole point. Because then there's different ways that you're approaching goal orientation. Because if we're using a goal orientation from the modern, corporate world, then are we using it from the political world, or are we using it from the teachers, meaning the objectives that they're trying to get in the classroom, or which definition are you using? Because you have to see is that when you say the materialists and then the devotees, then the difficulty comes up is that it's changing within that. I'm only bringing this up because of the level that we're discussing here in Vedanta Sutra and in the Bhagavatam. You know, if you had brought this point up, you know, 6 months ago or last year, it wouldn't be a topic at all. It wouldn't be an issue at all.
No, that is not my question, Maharaj. My question is that being goal-oriented and result-oriented in one's personal sadhana, not even in services, in one's personal sadhana is very important. That's what I feel. Otherwise, if you're not able to measure where we are, at which level we are, then what is a how can we progress? Otherwise, we will feel that we are satisfied at that particular level, and that itself is, you know, an advanced level. But then, if I'm goal-oriented, okay, now I'm at, let's say, anatta nivritti, then I have to go ahead.
No, but why do you have to go ahead?
Why? Do I have to?
Why do you have to go ahead from anatta nivritti? Why do you have to progress from anatta nivritti to nishta?
To ultimately attain prema.
And why do we want to attain prema?
To serve Krishna.
And why do you want to serve Krishna?
For his pleasure.
Okay, so there you got it. You have to make sure that that's the point. Because otherwise you're saying it's natural, it's that standard to be goal-oriented, but we also see is that the devotee has no desire. So now how does that philosophy fit into what you're talking about? You understand? So, in other words, are we going to appreciate talking about these higher analytical aspects of bhakti and then take that and try to apply that into our life, and so we can appreciate where I am and, you know, where I can, you know, the steps I can progress through? Or are we, every time that we discuss a higher level of bhakti, are we always going to try to take it, bring it down to our level, not for the practical application, but so that we feel comfortable by our particular, you know, identity, whatever it is, that what I'm doing is all right, and that I'm okay, you're okay? Or is it a matter of, yes, we're involved in the thing, but there's always more. We can move forward. So do we want it to be progressive, or is it about social status and about our position? That's what we're looking at.
Usually it's both.
Yes, but do we appreciate that it being both is not as ideal as if it was just the one? Yes, so that's progressive. But when every time it's always brought back to, no, but what we're doing is okay. Yes, it is okay. But this other advance is also, it's more okay. So we're trying to appreciate that more okay so that we move forward. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. Otherwise, we won't move forward. That's the whole idea. Is that we're discussing these things at a higher level. Not that we're at this level, but we're trying to appreciate that there is levels beyond what we're doing. Because otherwise, we'll much of the time take it that what we're doing is at that level. So we're just trying to show that we're doing something that's bona fide and is progressive, that will take us to that level, but we also have to be able to appreciate that level so that we're open to moving forward to that. Otherwise, we may get stuck at the level we're at. So that's the whole point here, is that we sometimes have trouble discussing this higher point simply because discussing it makes us feel insecure. Rather than just, you know, I'm at the point and there's more. And appreciating. But if you always have to, you know, point out that, you know, whatever it is, my, civic, you know, is okay. You know? Does that make sense?
Which is why this course is quite challenging.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, generally it's thought, you know, to be more of an intellectual challenge, but it's not an intellectual challenge.
No.
Because the whole idea of the Vedic thing is that you should progress yourself personally. Yes. Otherwise, just to memorize the thing in that, we wouldn't take this approach.
Yes.
You know, we wouldn't use the essay questions. Yes. We'd just use the review questions, and we'd add a lot more.
Yes.
Because you memorize the facts and figures, then you're good.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada, keep
going.
Go.